Welcome to Christ Central. We are a church wanting to be a change in our area for God's glory by being disciples and making disciples of Jesus and to be a light to the nations.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Hitesh. Can you all hear me all right? Yes? Can you all see me all right? Because I can see you. I've been testing out my new glasses. Last time I came, I could see double, which is very good because it makes the congregation twice as big. If I put it's twice as many, but if I've got my glasses on, I can see you clearly, and I hope I can see the screen as well. So if we can have my slides come up, we'll see if they work. That looks good. It's very nice of you to have somebody old come up to speak to you, because last week, it's wonderful, this church, the way so many new people are here that I don't yet know properly. You've got young people, all the youth outside. And last week, we had a message from one of the youngest members of the church. And now you've got one of the oldest. And when it's my turn to preach, it's funny how it works out. They don't fix it like that. But sometimes I get a whole load of verses. Once I had all the 10 plagues of Egypt and loads of verses. Another time, I just had two words, forever, amen. Or you could make it three words if you went the right translation, forever, amen. This time, I've only got one word, and it's only got three letters. It's or. It's not the two-letter word or. If it was gone that, I could say, you're either for God this morning or you're not or. But it's not that or, it's that or word that is used not so much as such in the English language, or. It's when it's so frightening, you see something, you experience something that is awesome in the real sense, or that is like fear and causes you to tremble. It gives our word awful and awesome. Now, awesome is a modern English word that everybody says. Somebody gives you a nice present or some nice food is set before you and you say, awesome. That's just very, very good, very nice. Or awful is very, very nasty. Oh, this food is awful. But or, I'm going to try and lead us into what the Bible uses the word or, because there's only one who's truly awesome, and that's our God, our Lord Jesus Christ. So, awesome. We're going to try and look into that. If you look at a secular dictionary, you can look around at Google and stuff. What does it really mean? It says it's a deep sense of reverence, wonder, fear even. The thought that you'd fall on the floor or cover your face and even shake. And even a secular dictionary will say, related to the power and presence of God. So, enough from me. What does the Bible say? And where does this stand in relation to our series? Those of you that come regularly will know that we've had a series on devoted, and we've been trying to learn from the early church as to what they devoted themselves to. We had an opening talk about what it means to be truly devoted to the Lord Jesus, that you would even pour all your valuable ointment over him, you pour it out to him, never mind the cost. Devotion, spending all your time, not just whipping in, listening to a talk, singing, and going. Devoted, this is what our scripture says. This is the early church. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Those are the four things that we have in our series. Not to say they didn't do other things. They praised God, we shall see in a few verses later. But it doesn't mention singing here. It doesn't mention PowerPoints. They didn't have PowerPoints. There's lots of things by tradition that we have that they didn't have. But not to say we shouldn't use these things. But these are the four things. The apostles' teaching, that was translated in the old versions as doctrine. That would be a bit off-putting. But as you can see from this picture, the pictures are not inspired, by the way, but the Word of God, if it's in quotes, the Word of God is inspired. But this picture is sort of nice. They've got an old bloke standing up preaching. And the other thing is, they've got, because they'd all been filled with the Holy Spirit, miraculous things happened. And it was sort of awesome to be there. And there's somebody in the front covering their face because they're so awesome. Miraculous things were happening. So it's time to have a Bible reading and see what the scripture actually says. You're familiar with this? Acts 2, if you're following in your Bibles, verse 42. They devoted themselves, note that, full on, all the week, in and out. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, being together like you are now, but not just here, through the week. They devoted themselves to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, the Lord's table. And didn't we have a wonderful message from there, from Jake a few weeks ago, how that is such a big thing, the confession of sin, and not just whizzed in and out and quickly on to the next thing. They devoted themselves week in and week out to the breaking of bread and to prayer. And didn't Mark say in our last monthly prayer meeting, if we really devoted ourselves to prayer, what a tremendous difference it would make to the people of Red Hill. They devoted themselves to these things, and my text is highlighted now. Everyone was filled with awe. It doesn't say because of this, but it just follows on. And they were filled with awe with what? At the wonders, the many wonders and signs that were performed by the apostles. So because these guys had been devoted to these things, and because they'd been filled with the Holy Spirit, things happened. Wonders and signs. People were healed. Demons were expelled. All sorts of wonderful things were happening, manifestations performed by the apostles, and it was this that filled everybody with awe. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give everyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of the people. That struck me this week, that what they were doing, all this stuff, the people outside liked it. They enjoyed the favor of all the people, it says. And here's another marvelous result. The Lord added daily to the number of those who were saved. So other people can talk about the lower verses later on in this series. And I've just got to talk about a three-letter word called awe. But I've cheated and made it into Hebrew, where you've got four letters. And I was going to preparing for this, it's all about what slides to chuck out because there's not going to be time. But I was sure I ought to keep this in because last week when Poppy spoke to us about the Hebrew word for Almighty God, Yahweh, we often like to sing, Yahweh. It's just like she said, breathing in and breathing out, inhaling and exhaling, Yahweh. In, out. Even the atheist who is breathing breath given by God, and even almost as it were bearing his name. So there you've got the word for awe, which in the Old Testament, I'm not going to bother you with the Greek at all, but I just got it. This speaks of God. Yirah, awe, yirah. The first letter is that little y, it's almost like an apostrophe. A year. And it speaks of Jesus, because Jesus came, he said, I've come not to destroy the law, not one jot or one tittle. It's the English word jot, a tiny little thing. Yeah. And then there's a resh, an ah, that looks like, don't forget you're reading from right to left when you read Hebrew. You're reading from right to left, so that little ah thing, if it was going the other way, would look like a little ah. And then there's aleph. Anyway, I'll tell you one thing about Hebrew. When the inspired word is given, and I'm always on, one thing that I always will tell you is how the Bible is the inspired word of God. even infallible is originally given. It was originally given the Old Testament in Hebrew. And that only has consonants, no vowels. So that's very practical, very useful to you in Connect Group. Because if someone says, would you read this verse? And it's got loads and loads of hard names in it, like Zephaniah and Melchizedek. And you don't have to worry because the vowels weren't there. You don't know how they were pronounced. But Yirah, would you like to say that with me? 1, 2, 3, Yirah. Should we do that? 1, 2, 3, Yirah. That is the awesomeness of God. And something else I learned this week after Poppy mentioned this. At the bottom, you've got Jehovah Jireh. Do you know that one? Jehovah Jireh, you often sing it, and it's often translated, my provider. But the actual word Jireh is exactly the same as what you've just said. Jireh. Jehovah Jireh. It's the same letters. It's just got different pronunciation. So God provides. Or if you look at the Hebrew, you get roots of things. And the root there is to see. God will see to it. Isn't that nice? If you're feeling in a bit of a mess over something today, you're lacking something, you're wanting something, you're praying for it, the Lord will see to it. But I digress. That's Hebrew. You didn't want to do anything very academic, did you, this morning? What is awe, very simply? It's, oh, wow. Scientists get research grants to study what is love, what is stress. And these experts find out these things, and they've just studied love, and they've studied fear and all these things and how it affects the human body. And, you know, they've only recently done awe, and they've discovered, would you believe, that when somebody is filled with awe, their mouth opens. And their eyes get bigger, and their eyebrows go up. Well, that's awesome. So there you go. You see something awesome, as Hitesh has put up, in the sky. That's the Milky Way. And to never mind the Hebrew, just in terms of simple English, what is awe? It's when you go, wow, wow, how on earth did that happen? Well, it's because God has designed it. So, you may think I'm rambling on a lot today, but there is a structure behind it. So we're going to try and look at the awesomeness of God, and he's the only one we can really say awesome to. He's awesome for who he is. God is an awesome person. So we should look briefly at who he is. And his works, what he has done. A lot of the things are what he has done throughout the universe, his creation, and all the beautiful things on earth that we can enjoy. We've already started on that theme this morning. His works. And then there's his ways. The way he steps into your life and your life. I haven't got time to say, going to hearing aids, I probably wouldn't hear what you say, but is there anyone who could say, or even put up your hand and wave, God has done something in my life that I've been healed, or something's happened? I can see some of you nodding, so you don't have to shout out. A lot of you are nodding. That's wonderful. Loads and loads and loads of you are nodding. God has, I can see it, I can see it. God has had his way in your life. Yes, more nods. That is awesome. That God is not only the God of the universe who does these marvelous miracles in spectacles from outer space and so on, but he is relating to you and to you and to you, his ways, his miracles, what he does. So let's come back to scripture. The psalmist speaks of this. He says, let all the earth, oh, that all the earth, all the people out there that don't know him, let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. Here's something you can do in the Connect group. this week. I do advise you all to go to Connect Groups. Very good. To follow up these things or to have fellowship together, do life together, share what God has done for you in awesome way, his works. Do that. And one of the things you might do, as we sometimes do, we're even invited to shout out sometimes at the beginning in the service. What attribute of God can you be thankful for and praise him for? And I'm sure this list is not complete. I've put three dots, means it goes on and on. But the crowning attribute is that he is holy. He is holy, holy, holy. He's all these other things. He's sovereign, he's our provider, he's powerful, he's unchangeable, and all the rest of them. But what do the angels sing? What do the angels sing in glory? What do they repeat? Holy, holy, holy is the Lord. They could sing all these things. They could say, good, good, good is the Lord. Wise, wise, wise. But the crowning attribute of all is that he is holy. A completely other from us. Completely sinless. Unable to look at sin. And then when you think of that, the awesome otherness of Almighty God, you find how awesome it is that he is approachable. The fact that you can say all these things about his greatness and his holiness, but you, whoever you are, the youngest one, the most sinful one, whoever you are, can speak to him by the merits of Jesus. That is awesome in itself. The fact that he is both holy and approachable. I think a poet once said that thou, my God, could look on me, being the man thou art. 'Tis darkness to the intellect, but sunshine to my heart. Or to put more, I can't get my head round it in more modern English. I can't get my head round it that you are so great, and yet you look on a sinful person like me. So, what else does the psalmist say? Speaking of the sort of things we've already started to concentrate on this morning, the depths of the earth, the peaks of the mountains, these are the sort of things that give you awe. They're all his and he made them. The sea is his and he made it. And his hands formed the dry land. So these sort of things give you awe when you look at your favourite scenes, whether it's mountains, seasides, landscapes or whatever. The whole earth is filled with awe. Oh, that it should be the whole earth. The people out there who see these things and say, oh, isn't Mother Nature wonderful, whoever she is? Isn't God wonderful? That's what we've got to tell them, that he's God who has done all these things. The whole earth is filled with his wonders. When morning dawns and when evening fades, you shall call forth songs of joy. And that's the Milky Way again. I don't know why we keep it. I've got millions of pictures like this to show the greatness of God. Can't be here all night. But just to show that we are just like one little dot. Our whole solar system is just like one little dot in that Milky Way, or even in other galaxies. You see these galaxies with the latest telescopes. You can see further and further out into distant space. And you can see, courtesy of NASA, some of the beauties of far-off nebulae and globular clusters and so on. And I put that one in, but of course that was were prepared before you had this week, and everybody immersed them and everybody could see. I didn't see it because I was doing Connect Group, but I'm doing Connect Group, and they all start flashing up with these pictures of, you know, northern lights from Merthyr, northern lights from everywhere else. But anyway, never mind. You have to show these pictures because you can all in your mind's eye picture what you think is the most awesome thing. Most of these are stolen from the internet without permission, but that one I actually took. I actually took that one in Iceland, and it's the words of the psalmist there. The voice of the Lord is over the waters, the glory of God thunders. So this is my theme today, that when we think, oh yes, it's awesome that we can talk to God, we can sing to God, we can pray him our most personal prayers, and yet he is that almighty one who is the designer and the creator of all these things. Wonderful. So this is all parts of his works, and millions of pictures of whether it's tropical fish or sea creatures. The Bible says, let's concentrate on the Bible, not on me. O Lord, how many are your works? In wisdom you have made them all. The earth is full of your possessions. There is a sea, great and broad, in which are swarms without number, animals both small and great, which you have formed to sport in it. So, awe should call us to worship, awe should put us in its place. I haven't got time to say a lot about Job, but you know how all the trials and tribulations, you think you've got trials and tribulations and troubles, but Job had them all. And at the end, he would say, faced with God, behold, I am insignificant. What can I say in response to you? And it should give him confidence, because he went on to say, I know that you can do all things. No purpose of yours can be thwarted. That's Job chapter 42. So, enough of God's works, God's ways. As I say, the way in which you all nodded, almost all of you nodded to say, God has done something in my life. God has done a miracle. God has appeared for me just at the right time. Maybe it was an interview. Maybe it was a healing. God has done something for you. And that's what I call his ways, his miracles, signs and wonders. You've seen his presence with awe and reverence, I hope. And this is just an example. I think when the disciples had seen a great miracle and many miracles of Jesus, amazement, that's like awe, isn't it? Amazement seized them all. And the result, they glorified God and were filled with awe, saying, we have seen extraordinary things today. Isn't that wonderful? And then another example in Luke 5, where Jesus told them to put the net on the other side when they toiled all night and caught nothing, but at your word, I will let down the nets. And when they had done this, they included a large number of fish, so many that the nets were breaking, and they had to signal to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and they brought the boats, and they got the boats were beginning to sink. So awesome was that catch of fish, that miracle. What did Simon Peter do? He fell down at Jesus' knees. That's awe. He just fell down and conscious of his sin. Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he and all those who were with him were astonished, filled with awe at the catch of fish they had taken. So response to miracles. It also lays the foundation for worship and a life of faith. In Hebrews it says, therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. So if you're getting anything from this, I hope it's the emphasis on the fact that God is so mighty, the one who can indeed destroy and even condemn people to hell. He is the great Holy One. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord, and he hates sin. He, as Isaac Watts said, before Jehovah's awful throne, you nations bow with sacred joy. Know that the Lord is God alone. He can create and he destroy. But when we're realizing we're coming to that God who is a consuming fire, I thought this was a modern one on, that I've placed alongside, but in fact it isn't. It was written nearly 100 years ago. We often sing this one, that's why I thought you'd know it. Before the throne of God above, it's this throne, before the throne of God above, I have a strong and perfect plea, a great high priest whose name is love, whoever lives and pleads for me. You see, friends, it's because we have Jesus, because before that, what you might say, awful throne, full of awe, before that throne of God, we have Jesus, our Saviour, who died on the cross, who pleads for us. That is the great paradox of this morning's message, that we can approach the throne of God, of grace, with confidence. We can do this with confidence because of Jesus, that great high priest whose name is love. The other thing about awe is that it gives us hope. Hope for the future. If we really believe all this about the greatness of Almighty God, we do not lose heart. But though our outer person is decaying, anyone here who thinks their outer person is decaying? Not bits of things going wrong. Yeah, bits and pieces going wrong. Well, some of us feel that. Our outer person is decaying, yet your inner person, it says in Scripture, is being renewed day by day. For our momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory, far beyond all comparison, while we look not at things that are seen. Don't let's spend all our time looking at the things of this world, which are temporal. Look at the things which are not seen, for the things which are not seen are eternal. So awe should give us hope. Hope that God can do it for us. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has imagined the things that God has prepared for those who love him. So I've put various scriptures up, and my prayer is that different scriptures will speak to different people as the Holy Spirit speaks to you today. There may be things that strike you that may not strike another person so much. There's an important verse here, which is like the... Well, waffle on, but it's a key verse to a group I belong to that seeks to show that science and the other academic disciplines, science and mathematics, point to God rather than point away from him. And they encourage by meetings and different things that happen to get people to understand that as Christians, we should look into these sciences. We should look at what God has done, because the Bible says unbelievers out there who don't recognize what God has done in the creation are without excuse. So I'll read this one. Since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that people out there who haven't heard the gospel are without excuse. For although they knew God, they neither glorified. A lot of people will say to you, oh, well, isn't it wonderful? But I'm not religious, or I'm not interested. Well, we're not religious. We're people of faith. We're people of faith who believe in God, that he has done it all. Otherwise, your minds are just futile, and your foolish hearts are darkened. Well, talking about slides I was going to put out, I was going to chuck this one out, but somebody in Connect Group said, you've got to keep this in. This is things that people get moved by that are not the standard things like lakes and mountains and galaxies and northern lights. There are people, it may be a minority, there are people who are turned on by classical music. And these people, oh, you are, some of you are nodding, huh? This slide really represents people I've sought to witness to who are not Christians. And I don't know many atheists. I know lots of people. You meet lots of people who say, thank you very much, but I'm not interested. I believe there's probably somebody up there, or there's a maker or whatever, creator. But I'm not interested. I only know few people who actually say, I am an atheist. There is no God. And I've got a very academic friend, who's fresh, my age, tried to witness to him when I was a teenager, started again, haven't seen him for 50 years, tried again. But he, and I'm trying to say, look, don't you think there is a soul and a spirit? Don't you think we're more than just brains and mind and machine? Don't you think there's something called a soul and a spirit? And he said, yes, I went to a classical concert, a string quartet, Beethoven or something, and uncontrollably I burst into tears. You're nodding. People, the music can do that to you. For some unknown reason, you burst into tears. And even as of yesterday, when we were singing, I think it was Holy, Holy, Holy. Somebody apparently was moved to tears by that, what we were singing in worship yesterday. And then there are other people, and again, I only put this in because Kim in this series brought this up. E to the I pi plus 1 equals 0. I mean, I haven't got time now to explain. But I'd love to. I'd love to all of these things. But I only mention that because another unbeliever, in the last few weeks, some neighbour had a garden party because they'd moved in and they wanted to get to know the neighbours. Isn't that a nice idea? So they invited all the odd people they could find to come and sit in their garden for the afternoon and eat cake. And I got talking to this bloke. He was an ex-engineer. He wasn't a believer either. But we got talking. He found out I was a mathematician. And we got talking about things like this. Complex numbers, I, that doesn't even exist, the square root of minus one. And yet, he knew from his career, he'd been designing aeroplanes and rockets, that these obscure things are the actual bits of mathematics that actually get implied to do things as an engineer. And as he spoke, tears came to his eyes. So it's not that I realise that's only a minority of you, but tears come into your eyes with awe at the beauty of a mathematical equation. And if you want to know the ones that would come to that give me, or almost doing it now, to get me to shut up because I go speechless with awe. The one that made me go speechless with awe was that top right-hand one, which for many years, I taught mathematics in university for 53 years, and in my spare time on Saturday mornings, I used to give masterclasses. It's a bit like Connect Group, where you masterclasses in mathematics for specially gifted children at the Royal Institution of Great Britain. I used to go along and talk a little bit like this, show loads and loads of pictures, far more than you've seen, sunflower heads, all the golden ratios in your teeth, in your eyes, in your knuckles, in your face, in your smile, loads of pictures of sunflowers and all the rest of it. And I used to set one picture, a diagram, told them to draw a regular decagon, a 10-sided figure. They used to get their little protractors out. Draw a 10-sided figure, and you'll find a golden ratio in there. And I thought, well, that's just an odd thing for them to do. That's just one little exercise in geometry. You get a golden ratio in a regular decagon if you divide the radius by the side. And then one day, a few years ago, I thought, well, why is that? Why is that all in there with God's fingerprint on all these other things? And then I find that in every cell of our body, in our DNA, you've all seen that spiral, that's another story in itself. But if you look at the spiral from the end, down the axis of the spiral, you see that God actually uses the regular decagon, the golden ratio in it, he uses it to design the staircase, if you like, of that spiral that's in our DNA. That's in 10 to the minus 10th of a meter, nano, zoom up 10 times. And that's what you've got in every cell of your body. So it's not only the things you see, like mountains, it's things far away and things down in the depths of the, not to mention nuclear physics, we're not even going there. So all these things, if you don't look at those and think, how wonderful is God, the Bible says you're without excuse. So what does the Bible say? Enough of my silly stories. Come back to the scripture. God is higher than us. God's thoughts are not our thoughts, and his ways are not our ways. The fear of the Lord, this awesome fear of the Lord, is the beginning of wisdom. That's what starts you on your way to the kingdom of God, if you like. But above all, and I'm coming to a close now, above all, a sense of awe, when we're gripped with awe, it should point us to Jesus. Because Isaac Watts said again, you can promise me that when I speak, you'll get how important the word of God is. You haven't even had time for money and sex today. That usually comes up. But what you do get is a quote from an old hymn that nobody has heard of or knows anymore, a classic hymn. And Isaac Watts said, of all these things you see, Ian Brown can go on for all night about all the beautiful things in science, all the beautiful things in nature, all the beautiful things in music and mathematics and stars and galaxies. But God, in the person of his Son, has all his mighty works outdone. Amen, you said to that. That may not finish, almost finished, but amen. God, in the person of his Son, has all his mighty works outdone. He's done amazing things in space, the same wonderful things that you see all around us, whether it's in distant space or in tiny microscopes. What he has done is made this awesome God who designed all this, created all this, designed it, created it, and then into that world of his general creation, he brings in his Son by another miracle, an awesome miracle. His Son, the embryo is placed in the Virgin Mary, brings forth his perfect Son who lives on this earth, who dies on this earth, so that all of you who realize how great God is can approach him through his work on that cross. And so I'll finish by quoting just a little bit more of this hymn that nobody's heard of. Isaac Watts knew even in his day that the spheres of the planets, all obeying God's laws of angular momentum, however far out you go into the universe, the spacious earth, the ocean's flood, proclaim the wise, the powerful God, and his rich glories from afar gleam bright in every rolling star. See where it shines in Jesus' face, the brightest image of his grace. God, in the person of his Son, has all his mighty works outdone. Amen.
Thanks for listening. And if you would like to know more about faith or us as a church, you can visit our website, www.christ-central.org.uk.